Real Photo Show is sponsored by the Charcoal Book Club, a fantastic way to start or add to your photo book collection. Check them out at charcoalbookclub.com. And as I am recording, there are still a couple of days to apply to the 2024 Chico Review. The Chico Review is the country's premier photo book retreat organized by Charcoal Book Club and takes place over 6 nights at Chico Hot Springs Resort near Livingston, Montana. Attending artists receive 10 formal reviews by speakers and reviewers and take part in artist lectures, panel discussions, peer reviews, Q&A sessions, and evening programming. And there are going to be so many great people at this event. I mean, too many to name here, but my friend and podcast partner, Sasha Wolf, will be there. Christine Potter will be there. Gregory Harris will be there, who features prominently in this episode. And if you are a listener to this podcast and Sasha's podcast, you will recognize so many other photographers at this event. So check that out at chicoreview.com. Now, this podcast and me, which is a weird way to say it, but we are a sponsor of and a participant with and a founder of the Homecoming Biennial. And this year's biennial takes place at Rochester Institute of Technology. And we are having our own event December 8th, 9th, and 10th, where we'll have talks and workshops and portfolio reviews, as well as a reception for all of our participants in the show. This is really exciting. I actually can't wait to meet everyone. If you're interested in any of the talks and workshops, check out mfaphotographyreviews.com and click on the 2023 Homecoming event, or go to my Instagram account at Real Photo Show and click on the link there in the link tree. So I hope I can see some of you there and come say hello and introduce yourselves. That is December 8th, 9th, and 10th. The portfolio reviews on the 10th are actually closed to the public. They are just for the participants in the show. So I will be presenting and doing a portfolio review along with Alana Aratom, Donna Sterling, Yoav Friedlander, and Eric Kunzman. And we also have some fantastic guest speakers, Chris Knight, Sisa Cruz-Bacani, Nick Marshall, and John Asp. And if you want to learn more about what we're all talking about and who we all are, visit my Instagram account, Real Photo Show, click on the link tree, or visit mfaphotographyreviews.com and click on the 2023 Homecoming link at the top. So just one last note about this event before we get to today's show. I really have to give a special shout out to Fujifilm North America. They have funded the bulk of the costs of these shows that we put on, which allows us to offer all of these events, the book, the prints for the show, the awards, the talks, just all of it at no cost to the students who are participating. Fuji also, for the second time in a row, will be giving away one of its GFX100S cameras with lens to one of the participants in the show. And that is just amazing. So thank you, Fuji. So my fantastic guest today is Aaron Hoyt, the Director of Operations at Filter Photo. If you don't know Filter Photo, you will by the end of the show, and you should also check it out at filterphoto.org. They are an incredible operation in downtown Chicago, in the West Loop, for those who know. And we talk a lot about the kinds of events and opportunities they put on and provide, with an emphasis on highlighting the photographic communities of Chicago and throughout the Midwest, as well as highlighting Chicago itself as a destination for the national and global photographic community. So Erin is also a photographer and a contemporary photography collector. She also owns and operates a successful wedding photography studio, which she very much plays down. And we don't mention this on the show, but Erin's wedding photography has been featured in some of the world's top wedding blogs and magazines. And we talk about being a part of the different worlds of photography in this episode. Just one last note about Filter Photo before we get going. Erin mentions James Pepper Kelly and Sarah Hadley, and they are the founding directors of Filter Photo. But the current executive director is Jennifer Murray. And Erin, just wanted to make sure that that was clear when we do talk about Filter Photo. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the show. Meet me in Rochester, and we will talk soon. Well, hi, Aaron Hoyt. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, good. So we just saw each other down in Atlanta when I was on my field trip with Sasha Wolf. And it was really nice to meet everyone and to meet you. And we were down at the High Museum to record with your newly minted husband, Gregory Harris.
Yeah.
For the Southern Photography Show, which was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Greg's exhibition at the High is incredible. I totally encourage everyone to go down and check it out.
Oh,
of
yeah.
course, I'm terribly biased. That is my husband, but it's quite the impressive exhibition.
Yeah. So were you born in Chicago?
No. So I'm from Michigan. So spent a lot of time in Chicago as a kid, you know, like weekend trips and everything. And so close enough to be home where... little bit of a train ride, but now I'm not down in Atlanta, mm-hmm. so this is quite different.
Yeah, I want to get to that a little bit, but you know, you're part of you're the director of operations for Filter Photo, and I want to talk about Filter Photo obviously because it does so many things. I mean, it's quite an organization, but like Filter Photo, you yourself have this sort of multifaceted connection to the photo world, to photography, with your own wedding studio business.
Yeah.
You're a collector, you're a collaborator on projects, and you're this director at Filter Photo. How do you come to all of that? I asked you if you were born in Chicago because that's where Filter Photo is located. But yeah, how do you get there? How do you come to where you are now?
Yeah, so a little backstory. I kind of went around it a different way. Like I have to refine my elevator pitch because I didn't really go to school. I dabbled a little bit with like an art school that was not really doing it for me. So I kind of knew I was going to have to like check my own course through, you know, internships and apprenticeships. So what really kind of got me started was I did two internships at the Miami Herald when I was 17, 18 years old. So quite young, but I definitely knew that was what really attracted me to photography in the beginning. And then from there...
But that would have been straight out of high school, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have the whole cliche story. I had a darkroom when I was 13, a Pentax K1000. You know, I was the yearbook photographer. I mean, it was like in the stars. So yeah, I mean, my desire to kind of like go on my own really did come from having, you know, not the best experience at an art school. And it's interesting now working so much with MFA grads with the organization that I now help run. I totally respect the course and everything like that. It just happened to not be mine. You know, after my internship, I moved to New York City. I did magazine research, like photo research, stock research for magazines, worked in a few studios, worked at a gallery in Tribeca as an intern. I was 21 at the time. So that was just starting to get my foot in the door. I have a background in production coordinating for corporate meetings. So, so like having this sort of balance of, you know, this really highly organized kind of type A personality, but then also this full love for photography, I came into Filter Photo during its first year. So when I came on, Sarah Hadley and James Pepper Kelly had already established Filter Photo as an organization. And they
did 2009, right?
And yep. They did one day of portfolio reviews at Loyola campus. And when I met them, it was just after that. So I helped form the festival portion of the event. So ever since then, annually in September, we've had a multi-day festival and it's really grown. And I can talk more about that course chronologically.
Before we get too far from where we were, how did you go from this internship in New York to then getting production coordinator experience?
Yeah, I moved to Chicago. I had some family friends that were producers of large scale corporate meetings. And I kind of started as a production assistant doing all the things. And then as just kind of moving up a little bit, I started to become a production coordinator. And then even through there, started becoming a photographer of corporate events. They were very generous with their time. It was always an independent contractor. I always knew that was important to keep my, you know, availability like loose and open and malleable to like the future opportunities. And it was great. I mean, I worked with a great group of people, Kindle Communications in Chicago, and they were always just very supportive of, you know, my track and trajectory of like wanting to do photography. And it was, you know, along that, it just really taught me a lot of like organization. And the funny thing with Filter, it's like, it's an event. It's, you know, like you, there's a lot of moving parts and like how to kind of remain just like on top of that. So, so it was a really good skill level to develop as I was trying to figure out how to make photography my main part of my life. And from there, I was simultaneously starting to build Filter, and that schedule was concurrent. And Filter, I mean, like, I mean, it's, you know, it was a scrappy startup in terms of just Pepper, Sarah, and I really wanting Chicago to have this organization present. And so when I was introduced to Sarah and Pepper, you know, I just kind of, I feel like what initially happened is I just got to bring all of this sort of experience with putting on larger events and having, you know, the organization experience and skill level, and then just my love for photography. So it was kind of this really perfect balance. And I will like adore Pepper forever because I think him and I really, we really had this like very special energy when building Filter where, you know, he's like, everything should be free for artists. And like, you gotta like, you know, like we gotta just, you know, break down these walls and barriers. And I was like, we got to keep the lights on, you know? And so like, there was this real, like, you know, checking each other in terms of, you know, how to build this organization, but always making sure that, you know, since day one, just really wanted to be a conduit of like how to transfer resources and funds to artists who are on their path of being a working career artist. So really, you know, just like all the trials and errors and the, you know, just trying new things and seeing what stuck. And, you know, we had all that very fun energy. And I really hope that that does show, you know, through the previous programming that we've put on. It's really like we all just adore photography and we really want people to have just this access. And if we can just be the middleman a little bit in terms of like helping be that access point. And it's really fun. I mean, you look back at these exhibitions and we've been some of people's first solo shows who have gone on to have these incredible careers. And we've, you know, we've shown Zora Murph and Tara Kranich. And those are definitely some really special moments for me in terms of like how much I put into Filter to look back and see, like, you know, and now they're in Greg's. Now Greg is like showing, you know, so it's kind of funny to see like, you know, 5 years ago, what we were showing, and then you see their careers progress. And it just feels really nice to know that we were part of that history a little bit and continuing to do so.
Yeah, Filter Photo is incredible with their exhibitions and festivals and workshops and talks and fellowships and scholarships and hosting events like the book launch for Melissa Ann Penny and photographs from Chicago Public Schools in their own light, published by Skylark. You sell books on the site. I mean, there's just so much going on. There's a show opening tonight while we're, you know, during this recording that's up through January. Young Cash Corin by Jade Theraswas. And I apologize if I mispronounced that.
Yeah, we're excited to have this work up. So this project is about a close-knit community of young refugees from Myanmar who resettled in Rochester, New York. So they are an indigenous ethnic minority. There's been these refugee camps along the Myanmar and Thailand border. And then, you know, after this, so that is the major issue. And then some of these groups, they resettle in the United States. And it was under a program of the Obama administration. Some came with family and some came alone. And now this group, this small group that this artist has specifically focused on is based in Rochester. And their self-chosen name of this group of men is called Young Cash Corin.
Okay.
So that this is a document of like this smaller group that has come from this larger issue.
And then there's open calls that Filter Photo does. And this year's open call is being juried by Dr. Sarah Kennell from the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts. It's called Context 2024. It's open now. Is that right?
Yeah. So the call for submissions is open now. It's juried by Sarah Kennell. And since the opening of Filter, it was our very first exhibition was Context. And we decided to keep it because it was an open call, meaning there were no themes. You're encouraged to submit what you're working on currently as an artist. And we've seen each year, each spring, we do this Context annual call and with a different juror each time. And it ends up being about a group show of 20 to 30 artists. And it really is a snapshot of like where the landscape of photography is shifting and shaping and going. It's our major group exhibition per year. So we really do rally behind it in terms of, you know, being really excited to kind of capture like where people are in their careers, what are they focusing on, what are the common threads and themes. And through the exhibition, even though it's an open call, the juror sort of is able to shape through these submissions, kind of construct a bit of a theme based on what these submissions are saying.
Yeah. And, you know, in the description of this show, for those who are interested in applying, it's really open. It is kind of send us this work and let's see what's out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we want to see what people are doing. There's no bounds on when you created the work, but we do want to think of it as more of like a fresh approach to what is out there. We do keep it kind of loose, and then we kind of form the exhibition based on the submissions that come through.
You were starting to talk about the Filter Photo Festival earlier, and I cut you off with a question. So why don't we come back to that?
So this past September, we celebrated our 15th annual Filter Photo Festival. So annually, each September, we put together this list of robust programming over the course of 4 or 5 days. They typically center around the portfolio reviews, which, if you're unfamiliar, portfolio reviews in photography, we put together a list of curators, gallerists, publishers, and you get to meet with these one-on-one for 20-minute sessions, and you buy a pack of 5, 8, or 12. It's kind of like, you know, speed dating for photographers with these photo professionals. And so we kind of work around outside of that to really make it a really fun and kind of like a gathering of the community, not only locally, but from everywhere. So we have workshops that really range from vision and charting your course as an artist throughout your career to more hands-on darkroom, tintypes, wet plate collodion workshops. And then in the evening, we really like to keep it fun and mix it up with, you know, a featured evening speaker. This past year, we had Palumi Basu, an Indian artist who's based now in London, who uses photography really as an act, like as a tool for activism. If you're not familiar with her work, I highly encourage everyone to look into it. She's quite incredible of how she's moved the needle in a lot of ways for women's rights using photography. And then we have daytime artist talks, and in the evening, the annual portfolio walk, where everyone who is in attendance gets to display their work and everyone walks around. You know, these opportunities are really great because you do get to meet these photo professionals, like these curators and gallerists, in a more professional setting, like as example during the portfolio review, but then to kind of break it up and get to meet them in a more social atmosphere is always very helpful to your opportunity as an artist. So we're a mighty small staff of three. Jennifer Murray is our executive director, director of operations, and Caitlin Peterson is communications coordinator. I think what makes our festival a little unique is that we are all active photographers. And so we really do put together programming, you know, based on what we know artists really do kind of need in terms of sort of really practical information and professional development practices, and also paying, you know, really in tune with contemporary photographers and what they're doing and trying to stay abreast of what's really interesting and happening, and always a nod back to just photography as a celebration. And one other note I wanted to make was what makes the festival also a little different than others is we are more of an a la carte pricing. We really want to be as open and accessible to everyone. So you do pay for the reviews or the workshops, but all of the other programming remains free and open to the public. We find that we are able to engage more with students, and we always want to have classes come into the artist talks. And then everyone who's from the community, just kind of, if you're a patron, if you're a collector, you don't have to just be a photographer. We really want to be as open as possible and to really bring this community together and kind of show off our city, Chicago, you know, having programming offsite at the museums and curator tours. So we kind of find this to be, you know, and we want it to be educational and productive for you as a working artist in your career, but also really just a celebration and to show off of our city that we love so much. Oh, one other note that I wanted to make. So throughout the year, we do programming at our space, Filter Space, and we also do a lot of programming online. We're just about to launch a 4-part professional development series that we look to continue to do multiple times throughout the year. So it is hosted online, and we're covering topics with different instructors about charting your course as an artist and charting your career as an artist, down to practical, like how do you organize your files in storage, to financial organization, and how to like best practices. So we're reaching out to people from our community to teach these classes, and we look forward to kind of keeping this as a template, but sort of switching out the information each session. So this first session is going to be for the month of January for one day a week. And that's, again, hosted online. And you can find more information on our website, filterphoto.org.
So Filter Photo is a nonprofit, and it is funded through grants and sponsors and donations. And you could become a member, and people should check it out and see. Visit, support, all those things. Filterphoto.org. That was one sort of track that you took The other, as a way of keeping yourself, you know, involved with photography and photography as part of your life, is the wedding studio that you started, which is on your site, erinhoytphotography.com. Yeah. And that seems also like a pretty large business.
Yeah, it's kind of like my secret.
We're outing your secret now. Man.
I mean, I don't want to bite the hand that feeds. Like, it's, I would say pretty close. So I've been with Filtered Photo for 14 years, basically since the beginning, and truly from knowing that I was building this nonprofit and knowing that that was where my attention and focus and energy was really going to be placed. I just really wanted to maximize. I mean, I know this is a horrible answer, but I wanted to minimize physically my presence of like where I had to be for a job, but yet maximize what that pay would be. This is a horrible answer. I think it's a reality. It's, you know, Chicago is a great place for it. I hate to say it's like I have this background in more photojournalism and documentary. I had this skill and I found that the wedding industry was really changing into where they wanted more of that sort of documentary feel. And it's still kind of where it's going. But it was, but 10 years ago, it was definitely moving away from feeling posed and, you know, constructed and tight. And so I think it really just took off. Mm-hmm. It's been really good to me. I wish there was more of like a struggle story, but like Chicago's this incredible city with tons of venues and tons of clients. And
no, it doesn't have to be like this brave struggle story. I bring it up because you're also an art collector.
Yeah.
And you've moved to Atlanta and, you know, I'm a professor of photography at a college. I do this podcasting and I'm a photographer and I'm also collaborating with this sort of whole venue of providing recently graduated students with a show and a publication and all kinds of things for free. But
yeah, it's getting a lot of attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yes.
Congratulations.
I know.
It's been really fun seeing everyone post and share. It's called Homecoming or...
Yeah, Homecoming.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. It really, we started it 2 years ago when I was still a gallery director in Trenton, and that's where we had our first show.
Nice.
And that was just sort of figuring everything out, and it went really well. We really expanded it this year to have workshops and all kinds of things. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of my partners, Eric Kunzman, also thought about Filter Photo when putting this together. But I bring that up only to say that, you know, I feel like I'm splitting my brain in four different ways sometimes. And, you know, if each one of those were children, I probably neglect one of those children every once in a while, which for me is typically me as a photographer. But I wonder, you know, how do you think about that, you know, having these somewhat different lives in a way?
Yeah. You know, the wedding photography, it's just been really good to me. I have a lot of gratitude because I really do have incredible clients, and it just felt pretty natural in terms of like, I had this skill, I had this background and I brought it to wedding photography. And I felt like it was a pretty good invitation in terms of the industry that is in Chicago. And I do think too, like, it's interesting to me, the amount of crossover between, you know, this fine art kind of commercial, these worlds. I think having someone who's just a major consumer of contemporary photography, like kind of bringing that into my wedding work just was... It was super natural. It wasn't forced at all. But I think that there was something that kind of made me stand apart in terms of composition and lighting and, you know, really having more of an education on contemporary photography and not just, you know, I think you do tend to find a lot of wedding photographers who don't really have that experience or background or, you know, so I do think just naturally it was a pretty nice transition to just go into using my previous experiences. I mean, one of the nice things about the wedding photography as well is, you know, I'm in my off season, so I'm not, you know, working, I'm not shooting again until March.
Oh yeah, there's a season. Yeah.
So in Chicago, I mean, I might do a handful of winter weddings, but it does really kind of stop at a certain point of the year. So like right now I'm working, you know, I'm doing all the back end things like updating your website and, you know, so that the nice thing is like, this does have like kind of a cycle. With Filter as well. I mean, you know, we kind of ramp up to our annual photography festival in September. Another exciting thing is that we're about to launch our open call for exhibition proposals. So annually in the winter, we open a call for exhibition proposals, and that's how we decide our next year to year and a half calendar of exhibitions at Filter Space. So everyone's welcome to apply. We accept artists, proposals from curators, artists who want to submit for a solo exhibition or a small group show. In terms of talking about cycle, this is also like one of the major parts of the year for Filter. We put together a panel of jurors. It's really nice because we all kind of come with different opinions, and it's also a really good opportunity for artists to have their work and their proposals seen, not just by us, but from other people in the community. This year we have Ame Boban. She's an artist based in Chicago. Leo Sue, the executive director of Silver Eye Center for Photography in Pittsburgh. Kelly Kristen Jones, an artist in Chicago who had an exhibition this past summer. We always have a previous exhibiting artist. We feel like they bring a lot of interesting perspective to the exhibition proposal review. And Yeshin Zhao is the assistant curator of photography and media at the Art Institute in Chicago. So we all get together all day long and we go through all these proposals. Everyone has access to the proposals before, so we do come with, you know, the knowledge of like who we were really looking forward to and excited to discuss. And then we will, you know, map out the next year to year and a half's exhibition calendar. So that call should open next week and stay open through January.
Oh, wow. You know, now that you're in Atlanta, do you go back and forth a lot to Chicago? I mean, I know you can do a lot of things remotely, but How much do you have to plan then? You're in your off season for weddings, and that's one thing, and you have this kind of ramping up period for Filter Photo. But how much do you sort of have to go back and forth?
I go back and forth quite a bit. So it depends. We were just calculating. I think I was on 72 flights this year.
Wow.
So the nice thing about Filter too, we're in our 15th year. And so there's a lot that even though there isn't a large amount of programming that we tackle every year, we kind of have them in these, you know, different times of the year so our attention can be focused on them at each time. So it's not, even though that we do a lot, it doesn't feel as overwhelming on our staff. I think we've done a really good job of like navigating and managing our own responsibilities. So it's kind of a divide and conquer mentality in terms of like, we're a small staff of three and we have an annual fellow. But yeah, I mean, last week I flew in, took down an exhibition, and then I had a shoot with a client, and then I flew back the same night. So it's like,
wow,
but it's fine. It was, you know, it's the space is about 900 square feet, so it's not super intimidating. We're quite used to being able to like take down or put up a show in a day. It's a little different than, you know, like a much larger gallery.
Right. Or a multi-room and yeah.
And it's also really nice. You know, it's a nice size too for a lot of artists who are maybe it's their first solo show. It's not it's not terribly overwhelming in the amount of like production costs that you would have to go to just fill a giant space. And that's done pretty intentionally because it is a really nice size, but it is not at all like overwhelming to an artist.
Right. And how are you all settling in in Atlanta?
It's good. I feel like my work is still based in Chicago, so I feel like I'm able to go back and forth enough where I haven't fully felt like I've severed the life I have there. And Atlanta's interesting. I'm starting to really try to understand the landscape here, and I feel like I'm in my phase right now where I'm just like sitting back and observing and trying to figure out a little more about, you know, what is the photography scene like here? What are the opportunities and resources for photographers? So just trying to take it all in. And, you know, with Greg Harris being at the High, it's nice because, I mean, I've been able to be introduced to a lot of these things pretty quickly.
Right.
I'm just like sitting back and observing, you know?
Do you imagine bringing your wedding business to Atlanta?
I do. I do. I think that having one thing that is nice is they're like opposite seasons, you know, like in Atlanta, people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. People aren't really looking to get married in July and August in Atlanta.
That's right.
So I'm kind of like, I'm interested in seeing how things will develop in terms of being able to maybe use both cities and fill in some of these, you know, larger gaps between the seasons. But the wedding industry here seems pretty great. I mean, everyone's been super warm and welcoming so far. I've done you know, just some cold reaching out to wedding planners and photographers, and people have been really nice. I shot a couple magazine covers so far down here. So that was a pretty good.
Oh, great.
That was a pretty good entryway to be able to be like, I'm just not like, I'm not a total, like, you know, like it's not a total cold. Like I, you know, your flowers are in this magazine I shot, you know. So that was a nice little introduction to be able to have that as a nice first step.
You know, to go all the way back, I forgot to ask you, did you come from a family that was in the arts?
Not really. My family, I mean, yes and no. Probably more leaning. It's interesting. So my family inherited, you know, from my great grandfather was a printing company. And so there was just a dark room in this building. So like, you know, the whole like, you know, circle thing you would step in and, you know, the tube you would just like.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Like old school dark room.
The revolving door.
The revolving door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, so I had access, and my dad dabbled in photography, and he was the one who first gave me a camera and kind of showed me the certain things. And I think he was always really excited to see us go that way. It's sort of funny. My family has a background in like running a printing company, and my grandfather is one of the first people to ever develop software. So they had a very like technical, and like me and we're a very small family. It's just me, my sister, and my two cousins. So it's like, we're quite small, but we're, one's a writer, two are graphic designers, and I'm a photographer. So I think if anything, we like went, but the next generation went full the other direction, which was like, we're all kind of artists. But yeah, I think that our family really supported us and gave us like access to these things. But then we all just went into the arts in our own direction.
Right. So you hinted at something about, you know, having an education in photography and art, not having an education in photography and art early on. And it didn't come up while we were talking. Did you not go to college?
You know, as long as it's been since I was in school, like I never know how to talk about it. So I went to like an AI art institute in Fort Lauderdale, you know, those like bankrolled, they're all getting sued and crashing to the ground as they should. And I was 17 when I graduated and moved cross country. Like, so I was quite young and I did the silly thing where I just wanted to follow where my friends were going. So I just picked, you know, like a school.
I did that.
Like, I don't know if I want to say I regret or don't regret, but I pretty quickly got there and realized it was like not for me. You know, it was, you know, those kind of schools just want to touch on everything lightly. It's like you take your fashion course, your still life course, and your editorial, you know, like, and you're like, but you never dive into anything. And there's not really a lot of. I kind of knew like I didn't want to continue that. And so I left pretty quickly. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. I know this is probably not going to make the podcast, but Greg always laughs at me because he's like, I did the whole thing. was so good. I was at the library. I got my MFA, you know, I did the whole thing. And you know, like, and
I'm leaving this in, by the way, I'm totally leaving this in.
And he's like, you know, and we kind of like settle and like, we know the same people. I mean, obviously Greg's career is so much larger, but it is fun. I mean, that's how we met. Like, he was doing portfolio reviews, and it's really fun to like know the same world, but on maybe different sides of the spectrum.
You came to it in very different ways.
Yeah.
Really different ways.
I appreciated having the mind as like an 18-year-old to be like, this school's has no future. And like, I'm done, you know, trying to like, I'm done putting money in this bank. Like, I was like, I'm just going to do it on my own. So I moved to New York. And so one of the things that did come from this was I was located in Florida. So doing the internship at the Miami Herald, and that that changed everything. I was working with, you know, excellent photographers, and this was like, man, 20 years ago, where more than 20 years ago, where, you know, you were shooting on film and you'd come back and you'd develop it and you go through that little screen where you like and with the editor and, you know, they put you on assignments and then you go out and shoot and then it's in the paper the next day. So it was a pretty generous internship in terms of just jumping straight in. And the excitement I felt from that versus what I was getting from the courses, I just was like, I can, if I can do this on my own, like, why wouldn't I? So, but yeah, it's funny. I've never had a 9 to 5, you know, I never did that.
I think you have a really interesting path to where you are now, and including, you know, really valuing those internships and just real life experience. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I never want to sound like I don't appreciate, you know, the college education. It just didn't, the way my path was going, I didn't feel like resetting and starting back into an institution was the best reason for me or the best way for me, because there were you know, that school and another school are just, they're apples and oranges. So.
Right. Well, thank you. This has been great.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
All right. So, hey, well, hopefully we'll get to talk soon, or maybe I'll get to come down again.
Yeah. Let us know when you're here for sure. Greg's next show is going to be awesome. It's Truth Told Slant. It's with.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a spin. I don't know, he's not going to like the way I, it's not a spin, but it is sort of, it's, you know, it's current, contemporary documentary photographers taking a new approach on documentary photography itself. And so it's, I mean, I know I don't have to do him a plug, but like, if you're in town, you should come see it, because it's like, it's a really exciting show that's going to be up next.
Well, great. I will definitely try to come down. That sounds great.
Cool.
Well, thank you.
Greatly appreciate the opportunity to spread the word about Filter. It means a lot to us. You know, it's really funny kind of having started it 14 years ago. It's, you know, I still feel like it's this small, quaint organization, but, and I think it's good to keep that mentality in terms of just how we approach, you know, our programming and how we treat, our attendees. But it is really amazing when people have the opportunity to really participate in this in a way that it does feel like it is a very good tool for artists to have in terms of the programming we offer and the opportunities that we have year round.
Well, you clearly have an incredible passion for it, and I'm very happy we got to do this. So thank you.
Thank you, Michael, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Real Photo Show is produced by me, Michael Chauvin-Dalton. Music by Matteo Chauvin-Dalton and Jim Raimundo, recorded at the Rutherford Music Exchange. If you like the show, please rate and review with all the stars on your favorite listening platform.